Chapter 22. The sturdy two-lane continued basically straight for 5 miles to the recycling plant's vehicle gate. An unsign-posted left fork speared off into the brush and formed the western end of Despair's only through road. Reacher paused for an approaching semi loaded with bright steel bars, and then waited again for a container truck heading for Canada. Then he made the left and bounced up onto the uneven surface, and drove on and saw all the same stuff he had seen the day before, but in reverse order. The plant's long end wall, welded metal, bright white paint, the sparks and the smoke coming from the activity inside, the moving cranes. He stretched a long arm across the cab and dropped the passenger window and heard the noise of clanging hammers and smelled the acrid odors of chemical compounds. He got to the acres of parking near the personnel gate and saw the clockwise security Tahoe bouncing across the scrub in the distance far to his right. Its counterclockwise partner was right there in the lot, black, tinted windows, coming on slow, looking to cross the road at a right angle. Reacher sped up, and the Tahoe slowed down and crossed right behind him. Reacher saw it slide past, huge in his mirror. He drove on, and then the plant was behind him, and downtown Despair was looming up 3 miles ahead on the right, the low brick cubes sullen in the afternoon light. The road was clear. It rose and fell and meandered gently left and right, avoiding any geological formation larger than a refrigerator. Cheap engineering, never graded or straightened since its origin as a cart track. A mile ahead, a cop car pulled out of a side street. It was unmistakable. A Crown Vic, white and gold, black push bars on the front, a light bar on the roof, antennas on the trunk lid. It nosed out and paused a beat and turned left. West. Straight toward Reacher. Reacher checked his speed. He was doing 50, which was all that was comfortable. He had no idea of the local limit. He dropped to 45 and cruised on. The cop was less than a mile away, coming on fast. Closing speed more than 100 miles an hour. Time to contact approximately 35 seconds. Reacher cruised on. The sun was behind him, and therefore in the cop's eyes, which was a good thing. The old Chevy truck had a plain, untinted windshield, which was a bad thing. 10 seconds before contact, Reacher took his left hand off the wheel and put it against his forehead like he was massaging his temple against a headache. He kept his speed steady and stared straight ahead. The cop car blew past. Reacher put his hand back on the wheel and checked his mirror. The cop was braking hard. Reacher kept one eye on the mirror and ran a fast calculation. He had maybe 15 miles to go before the Hope Town line, and the arthritic old Chevy would top out at about 70 max, which gave him a 13-minute trip. The Crown Vic was not a fantastically powerful car, but the police interceptor option pack gave it a low axle ratio for fast acceleration and twin exhausts for better breathing. It would do 90, comfortably. Therefore, it would overhaul him within 3 minutes, just about level with the abandoned motor court at the start of 12 whole miles of empty road. Not good. Behind him, the Crown Vic was pulling through a fast U-turn. Why? Despair was a company town, but its road had to be a public thoroughfare. Any Hope resident would use it to head home off the interstate. Some Kansas residents would do the same. Unfamiliar vehicles in Despair could not possibly be rarities. Reacher checked the mirror again. The Crown Vic was accelerating after him, nose high, tail squatting low. Maybe the security guy in the counterclockwise Tahoe had called it in. Maybe he had seen Reacher's face and recognized it. Maybe the deputies from the family restaurant took turns as the security drivers. Reacher drove on. He hit the first downtown block. 10 blocks ahead, a second Crown Vic pulled out and stopped, dead across the road. Reacher braked hard and hauled on the wheel and pulled a fast right into the checkerboard of downtown streets. A desperation move. He was the worst guy in the world to win a car chase. He wasn't a great driver. He had taken the evasive driving course at Fort Rucker during the MP officers' basic school and had impressed nobody. He had scraped a passing grade mostly out of charity. A year later, the school had moved to Fort Leonard Wood and the obstacle course had gotten harder, and he knew he would have failed it. Time and chance. Sometimes it helps a person. Sometimes it leaves a person unprepared. He hit 3 four-way stops in succession and turned left, right, left, without pausing or thinking. The streets were boxed in tight by dour brick buildings, but his sense of direction was better than his driving, and he knew he was heading east again. Downtown traffic was light. He got held up by a woman driving slow in an old Pontiac, but the blocks were short, and he solved his problem by turning right and left again and bypassing her one block over. The chase car didn't show behind him. Statistics were on his side. He figured the downtown area was about 12 blocks square, which meant there were about 288 distinct lengths of road between opportunities to turn off, which meant that if he kept moving, the chances of direct confrontation were pretty low. But the chances of ever getting out of the maze were pretty low, too. As long as the second cop was blocking Main Street at its eastern end, then hope was unavailable as a destination. And presumably, the metal plant Tahoes were on duty to the west, and presumably despair was full of helpful citizens with four-wheel drive SUVs that would be a lot quicker over open ground than Vaughn's ancient Chevy. They could get up a regular posse. Reacher turned a random left just to keep moving. The chase car flashed through the intersection dead ahead. It moved left to right and disappeared. Reacher turned left on the same street and saw it in his mirror moving away from him. Now he was heading west. His gas tank was more than a quarter full. He turned right at the next four-way and headed north 2 blocks to Main Street. He turned east there and took a look ahead. The second Crown Vic was still parked across the road, blocking both lanes just beyond the dry goods store. Its light bar was flashing red as a warning to oncoming traffic. It was nearly 18 feet long, one of the last of America's full-sized sedans. A big car, but at one end it was leaving a gap of about 4 feet between the front of its hood and the curb, and about 3 feet between its trunk and the curb at the other. No good. Vaughn's Chevy was close to 6 feet wide. Back at Fort Rucker, the evasive driving aces had a mantra. Keep death off the road. Drive on the sidewalk, which Reacher could do. He could get past the cop with 2 wheels up on the curb, but then what? He would be faced with a 12-mile high-speed chase in a low-speed vehicle. No good. He turned right again and headed back to the downtown maze. So the first Crown Vic flashed past again, this time hunting east to west, 3 blocks away. He turned left and headed away from it. He slowed and started looking for used car lots. In the movies, you parked at the end of a line of similar vehicles and the cops blew past without noticing. He found no used car lots. In fact, he found nothing much at all. Certainly nothing useful. He saw the police station twice, and the grocery store, and the barber shop, and the bar, and the rooming house, and the faded old hotel that he had seen before, on his walk down to the restaurant he had been thrown out of. He saw a storefront church, some kind of a strange fringe denomination, something about the end times, the only church in town, Vaughn had said, where the town's feudal boss was the lay preacher. It was an ugly one-story building built from brick, with a squat steeple piled on top to make it taller than the neighboring buildings. The steeple had a copper lightning rod on it, and the grounding strap that ran down to the street had weathered to a bright verdigris green. It was the most colorful thing on display in despair, a vivid vertical slash among the dullness. He drove on. He looked, but he saw nothing else of significance. He would have liked a tire bay, maybe, where he could get the old Chevy up on a hoist and out of sight. He could have hidden out and gotten Vaughn's bad geometry fixed all at the same time. He found no tire bays. He drove on, making random turns left and right. He saw the first Crown Vic three more times in the next 3 minutes, twice ahead of him and once behind him in his mirrors. The fourth time he saw it was a minute later. He paused at a four-way, and it came up at the exact same moment and paused in the mouth of the road directly to his right. Reacher and the cop were at right angles to each other, nose to nose, 10 feet apart, immobile. The cop was the same guy who had arrested him. Big, dark, wide, tan jacket. He looked over and smiled, gestured, "Go ahead," like he was yielding, as if he had been second to the line. Reacher was a lousy driver, but he wasn't stupid. No way was he going to let the cop get behind him, heading in the same direction. He jammed the old Chevy into reverse and backed away. The cop darted forward, turning, aiming to follow. Reacher waited until the guy was halfway through the maneuver and jammed the stick back into drive and snaked past him, close, flank to flank. Then he hung a left and a right and a left again until he was sure he was clear. Then he drove on endlessly. He concluded that his random turns weren't helping him. He was as likely to turn into trouble as away from it. So mostly, he stayed straight until he ran out of street, then he would turn. He ended up driving in wide, concentric circles, slow enough to be safe, fast enough that he could kick the speed up, if necessary, without the weak old motor bogging down. He passed the church and the bar and the grocery and the faded old hotel for the third time each, then the rooming house. Its door slid behind his shoulder and opened. In the corner of his eye, he saw a guy step out. A young guy. A big guy. Tall and blonde and heavy. An athlete. Blue eyes and a buzz cut and a dark tan. Jeans and a white T-shirt under a gray V-neck sweater. Reacher stamped on the brake and turned his head. But the guy was gone, moving fast around the corner. Reacher shoved the stick in reverse and backed up. A horn blared, and an old SUV swerved. Reacher didn't stop. He entered the four-way going backward and stared down the side street. No guy. Just empty sidewalk. In his mirror, Reacher saw the chase car three blocks west. He shoved the stick back in the drive and took off forward. Turned left, turned right, drove more wide, aimless circles. He didn't see the young man again. But he saw the cop twice more. The guy was nosing around through distant intersections like he had all the time in the world. Which he did. 2:30 in the afternoon, half the population hard at work at the plant, the other half baking pies or slumped in armchairs watching daytime TV. The lone road bottlenecked at both ends of town. The cop was just amusing himself. He had Reacher trapped, and he knew it. And Reacher knew it, too. No way out. Time to stand and fight.